The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
His wife just had a baby, then he saw you smile. A magazine with himself on the front. He gets in the mood that way.
Uh-oh.
It is his foreplay.
Ew.
Oh, Stormy. Oh, Stormy. Before the 130 grand prize.
Well, there was that.
They verified your story two separate times, and that was what they transcribed. Just as you described.
Everybody sing.
Oh, Stormy.
You did that day. goodness. The Parody Project. That is Don Karen playing all the parts there. Longer than the usual song.
If you're not...
Oh, parody we start with. But I thought that was worth it. Unfortunately, we don't have Stormy yet. That'll come next week. Hi, welcome to a Thursday. I'm Nicole Sandler. We do a show here every day, such as it is. Today's Thursday, and on Thursdays, Howie Klein is here. Howie Klein is the proprietor of DownWithTyranny.com and one of the moving forces behind Blue America PAC, who help get progressives elected to office. Anyway, so today... The trial of the century, or at least the first of four, got back underway. They take Wednesdays off to deal with other business and such. And so when Tuesday ended, they had already seated seven jurors. Then this morning, they lost two of them. So apparently it's a kind of a fluid thing until the trial starts, because on both sides... both the defense and the prosecution are investigating the people, potential and seated jurors, to make sure that they're all good to go, that they should all be on the jury. And there's stuff going on. So, you know, they called something like, I don't know, a ridiculous number of people. I want to say it was like 9,000, but don't quote me on that because... my memory's kind of foggy. Anyway, and it's not just for this trial, but for a lot of trials in the New York court getting underway right now. So I'm on the Book of Face, and I see a post from a friendly acquaintance, somebody I've known for like 35 years, though I don't know him well. Turns out he was a listener. A listener, when I was just starting out, when I was in New York, as a little baby broadcaster, and produced Jim Kerr. And then I moved out to Los Angeles, and Bruce Springsteen, just to give you a background on who this guy is, Bruce Springsteen had the Tunnel of Love album coming out. So I think this is like 37 years ago. And this listener, Michael, knew that I was a big Springsteen fan. I don't know if he was still in New York or I don't remember. All I know is he sent me an advanced cassette recording of Springsteen's Tunnel of Love album. And so this guy, Michael, has been, you know, an on and off listener all these years. And I saw him on Facebook the other day, and he wrote one word, dismissed. And I'm thinking, could it be? And then I read some of the comments, and it turns out, yes, he apparently was called in that mass roundup of Manhattan residents to go report for jury duty. And he didn't post much, but I figured out, you know, through the power of deduction and sleuthing, that must have been it. So I sent him a message on Facebook, and I said, here, wait, let me bring it up. I said, hey, Michael, hope you're well. I see that you were called for jury duty, then dismissed. Any chance you'd be available to join me on the air this afternoon for a few minutes to talk about the experience between 5 and 5:30 Eastern? Of course, we can talk Bruce for a few minutes, too. And he wrote back, he said, Nicole, hope you're well. Appreciate the offer, but I am not really talking about it beyond my friends online, as there are too many of his fans out there. One paper printed where I work. We have maybe 25 employees. So that was scary enough. But again, I thank you for thinking of me. His experience is not... look, he never even made it past the first round. Well, what happened last night is one of the seated seven came in this morning. Actually, she called the court last night because the media... was giving out so much information about her that friends, family, and acquaintances started calling her and saying, are you one of the jurors? Just from the information they gave out. Like, you know, it's a woman of whatever age and she's a lawyer. Or I don't know if this one was. I'm just, you know, these are some of the things they gave out. And they kept giving out information. And And so this woman got nervous and she got removed from the jury, as did another one who I believe was, Trump's people, I think, did some, background social media checking on her and saw that back, 20, 30, well, maybe not that long ago, but a while ago, she wrote some incendiary things about Donald Trump, just not very favorable things. So they had her struck from the jury as well. So what started as seven seated at the beginning of the day went down to five. But, and from what I'm understanding, the media keeps doing it. They keep giving out identifying information about these jurors. Well, something's got to stop with that. Something's just got to give. To the phones. Hi, who's this?
This is Proudskill.
Oh, hey, Proudskill. Al, you threatened to call the other day, and then you didn't, but you're here now. What's on your mind?
Well, your interviews were too good to be interrupted. Seriously.
The day we were talking was when I had the two candidates for school, one for school board, one for the superintendent of schools in studio. I love meeting people like that who will, decide to do for the greater good, run for office. And they were wonderful. So, yeah, I get it. I get not wanting to interrupt them. They were pretty fascinating.
We need more people to run for office.
Yes, we do.
Because of the situation I'm going to explain in Alabama. Unfortunately, this can happen in many other states. In fact, Kentucky, Texas, and Missouri have all disassociated from the American Library Association, which sets the standards for librarianship.
Okay.
Let me give you some background first, because this will make more sense. With the censorship issue as big as it was, all states, including Alabama, have something called a public library service that helps public libraries with their mission.
Yeah.
And on the commission was a person that was in favor of us and was there for about 40 years. And she was replaced by John Wall, who is the chair of the state Republican Party, by the governor.
Okay.
And right now there is State House Bill 385, which would basically make anybody that distributes in a library, being a librarian, of course, questionable material as defined by the state code of Alabama, which is very vague to begin with its obscenity laws. So that would definitely make librarianship illegal if passed. Unfortunately,
Wait a minute. So there's legislation moving through the Alabama state legislature that would outlaw the job of librarian?
Basically.
Okay.
Basically, because with all the material that we deal with, like Faulkner, Vonnegut, mm-hmm. Oscar Wilde, mm-hmm. all that stuff would be quote unquote questionable material.
Oh,
come
my
on.
God. You know, Kurt Vonnegut was an obsession of mine in high school. And that's when I got into Vonnegut, still one of my favorite authors. And when I did my senior year of high school, my freshman year of college during my senior year of high school, because I had all my requirements out of the way. So I went to the community college, BCC, as it was known then, it's now Broward College, instead of going to, regular high school. And then when I went up to the University of South Florida, I already had my freshman English classes done. So I got to choose what kind of English course I wanted to take. And they had a class, Studies in Vonnegut. So you're telling me that, for instance, an author like Kurt Vonnegut, who inspired me to read as a kid who wasn't that academic.
Yeah. Objectionable material.
Is objectionable material. Oh, my God. He makes you think. I guess that's their problem. But on top of that,
unfortunately, I think this is bound to pass because they have 25 co-sponsors.
Oh, my God.
One of the sponsors is the House Speaker, and the other one is the Republican Whip. And if it goes to the state Senate, there's a 35 member state Senate, and there's only 8 Democrats, which means they need 9 Republican votes to kill the bill. And I just don't see how they could do it.
Wow. Well, it is Alabama. I don't. So you're a librarian, Proudskill? That's your profession?
That's one of my professions. Uh-huh. I have a master's in library science and was certified in several states. I also work in broadcasting. And one thing I like to bring up is there's no such thing as an illegal person.
No.
Because unfortunately, and you probably have a family background like mine, migrants are just doing jobs what they can to survive. And unfortunately, most of them in this country are not white.
Right. Well, you know what? You're getting off topic, Al. We really need to stick because I got a show to do. So the library thing. So this is going through the Alabama state legislature right now?
Yes. And hopefully the ALA and ACLU, once this is passed, will be on the right side and send some money down here, because what can happen here can happen anywhere else, really.
Well, without a doubt. And there's an attack on, I think, literacy going on. There's an attack on, on freedoms. It's so weird to listen to, like, Trump, if you can stomach it for any amount of time, because of the projection, because he talks about we're going to be free. And he accuses the Democrats of doing basically everything that he and the Republicans are doing. So it's impossible to have a debate or a reasoned argument with someone who just makes shit up as they go along. That's the problem with today's Republican Party. There's nothing, there's no basis in fact there. There's no truth. They come from such a disingenuous place where they accuse the other side of doing exactly what they're doing. It's just terrible. The fact that go read Fahrenheit 451 again. They're making books out to be bad things. Things that make your mind open, make you think. That's not a good thing, according to them, because, well, most of them don't have the skill of critical thought. And by taking money out of our public school system and putting it into these PragerU kind of bullshit curriculums, they are promoting the end of critical thought. They do not want you to think for yourself. They do not want you to be educated. Donald Trump loves the poorly educated. So all the more reason, Al, that we need to get out and vote. We need to vote. I'm going to bring you down. We need to vote like our democracy depends on it, because it does. Spocko, hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Just wanted to do a quick call. And can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're getting quiet. It's almost like you're whispering. Talk to me. You were just there. Now I'm not hearing you at all.
Okay, I'm here.
There you are. Okay. Go.
I just want to do a follow-up. I am, again, caring for my in-laws. And the interesting thing is that, well, I don't want to wake people up. Anyway, the thing that I want to do is point out is that
what's going on? Something weird is happening here. Why do you keep cutting out? Why do you keep going quiet?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Hang on. Okay. Maybe on two different things. Okay.
Okay, you're gone. I don't know what's happening, Spocko, but talk to me. Okay, I got to bring you down. Something funky is going on. Call back in a little bit. Let me get some of this out of the way, and Spocko will get his phone thing set up. But, you know, so back to what I was saying before Al called. And, you know, I have a policy. If you call in during the first half hour of the show on a day that I have, like, a guest in the second half hour, I will take your call. Sometimes we get thrown off topic, but whatever. So yesterday, you know, the judge has a gag order on Trump. He thumbs his nose at it, doesn't care what the judge orders or tells him. And he yesterday, Trump retweeted or truth tweeted or fake tweeted or however you say it, something that Jesse Waters, I don't know if he tweeted it or put it on Truth Social. I actually tried to get on Truth Social today because I'm afraid I might have done it again yesterday. I might have actually showed a fake tweet that wasn't really sent. I don't know. There was something on Truth Social, pretending or really from Donald Trump that said, I wasn't sleeping, I was praying. Now, I found that hysterically funny. I don't know if that was real or not. So I decided, all right, I'll create a Truth Social account and I'll double check it before I put anything out there again as if I know for sure that it really happened. And I wasted a good 20 minutes on it. And it just didn't work. I put in, allegedly I had registered using one of my extra email addresses a while ago. So I tried to go in and it told me I got the password wrong, but it doesn't give you a place to fix to change the password. It's just so primitive and bad. So I tried to create a new one and another one. None of them would take. And then finally I got a thing that said, you cannot create a new account on Truth Social right now. Try back later. Yeah, right. I don't think so. And we wonder why the stock is tanking. Actually, we don't. Anyway, so, but Donald Trump did repost something that Jesse Waters wrote, basically casting aspersions on one of the jurors who had been seated that said, we have evidence that the liberals are lying to put people on the jury who don't belong there. And then I guess maybe they tweeted this or truthed, untruthed this clip.
Number two, a nurse from the Upper East Side with a master's degree. She's not married, has no kids, and lives with her fiance who works in finance.
Why is that funny?
She gets her news from the New York Times, Google, and CNN. She said two things that really stuck out. One, quote, I don't really have an opinion of Trump. And, quote, no one is above the law. I'm not so sure about juror number two.
He's not so sure about juror number two. Well, juror number two today was dismissed. And so this is the kind of shit that's going on. This is juror intimidation.
Yes.
Okay, Spocko, you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
The thing that you're talking about, he had a whole piece on each one of the jurors.
Oh, my God.
And he covered the detailed background that they had about them. Every single time that somebody went up on the stand, they were asked their employment,
right,
where they lived previously. And I just looked at that and said, this is going to be easy to find them. And even Marcy pointed this out, too.
Yes.
It's like this is a failure of the anonymousness of this case. And I think that it's really important that they change that particular process. And they did this morning. They stopped asking about where they worked.
Oh, good.
And they stopped asking about where they work now. However, then the judge said that the press should voluntarily keep out certain information, like he had an Irish accent or something like that.
Yeah, they should.
Every single time that they put put this kind of information out, it goes out to the regular press. Like ABC ran some of the exact same stuff that was run by Jesse Waters, but Waters made it kind of sinister, like, ooh, we don't know this. And I think to myself, the people who are going to be threatened are the jurors and also the jurors' family.
That's right.
And relatives.
Families.
They'll figure out who they are and they'll start going after them. And last April, and I think I sent you a piece about this, I wrote what should happen. And on Monday night, I asked Glenn Kirshner, what happens when people start getting threatened? What's the process for jurors? And it was kind of interesting. The first thing that they're supposed to do, if they're contacted, the jurors are supposed to tell the court right away that this was happening. And that's what juror number two did.
That's right.
The next thing is I said, well, what about law enforcement? What are they going to do? I think that this is, a failure of the law enforcement, the courts, to understand how dangerous Trump and his followers are. They will figure out who it is. And what I said should have happened, which is they should be monitoring. The second they know the names of the people, jurors, all of their social media should be monitored for threats. And I said, well, who arrests people for threats? He says there's three agencies. There's the local, the state, and the feds. The feds deal with interstate threats like social media,
right?
Because, you know, wire threats.
Sure.
Local deals with like in the city, like ones where they can figure out who it is. And then the state, you know, deals the other ones. All of those threats need to be evaluated right away. And frankly, they should be tracked down. The thing that I thought was interesting was Glenn says they all have to coordinate, and I haven't heard about any, you know, coordination
well,
about
you
this.
Shouldn't.
I haven't heard about any
you
arrests.
Wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Yet.
I mean, arrests if there are threats made, but harassment.
Yes.
And then what I told you about my friendly acquaintance, the fact that he never even got past the initial questioning, but the fact that one of these outlets printed mail around his age, where he worked, people are like, was that you? And they knew it, and that freaked him out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I, like I said, the piece that I did last year, they had Cy Vance on there. They talked to Jen Psaki. We know what Trump is going to do. He's going to use this as delay, perhaps using it as a way to get a mistrial and to threaten jurors. And then what we don't have is a system that goes after and helps protect the victims. And then, which I brought up, which was compensation for this, because we know that criminal trials, a lot of times it goes into a black hole. We don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. I think that the city of New York or the state or whatever, as well as the jurors who got defamed, like that oncology nurse, they should be able to sue for a civil case. And who do they sue? Well, it's not just Trump. It's his coordinated MAGA team.
Uh-huh.
Because I know a lot about finding people on the internet. It's not that hard. But the next step where you come out, do the threatening, that is the place where they could get people for and find out their intent. I mean, track them down and bring in some of these lawyers to do it. Why do I think about this, Pat? Because financially is one of the few ways that we've seen Trump get got.
Yep. And look, the question is, if he keeps this crap up, what do they do? So there's going to be a hearing on Wednesday for his violations of the gag order. And he's violated it numerous times
Seven more times, right?
So the prosecution is saying, well, fine him. Fines don't do anything to him. He doesn't pay it out of his own money anyway, not that he has any, but he has lackeys who, for whatever reason, give him money to pay this crap.
Yes,
so
I sent you a link. Brian Taylor Cohen and Glenn Kirshner talked about this particular strategy, how he uses this to fundraise and dominate the news. And one of the things that I see happening is that when he does create, you know, he sends out fundraisers. Matter of fact, I was watching the video about Brian Taylor Cohen and Glenn Kirshner talking about how he's fundraising it. It was interrupted by an ad
for Donald
Trump asking for money.
Right.
And I thought, oh man, that is perfect.
Okay. We got to wrap it up because I got to get to Howie. So
I think the thing is that they can put him in jail. They have a strategy for it, and also acknowledge the fact that he has a strategy and he'll try and raise money about it. But we can't just ignore how it is that he abuses the system.
No.
Because when we do it, he keeps doing it. So
yes, anyway. He does. Anyway, all right, Spocko, thank you for checking in. I will try to remember to link to the piece that you wrote up in Crooks and Liars about just this, where I post today's show on the blog at NicoleSandler.com, followed by the date, NicoleSandler.com/4-18-24. That's how today's show will be posted. That's the formula I use. No paywall.
Looking forward to Marcy tomorrow.
Yes, Marcy Wheeler tomorrow. All right, thanks, Spocko. It is that time, you know. I just don't have time to dilly-dally because our Dirty Debbies are awaiting us.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Yo, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole.
How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. It's so funny. I always wonder what kind of audio we're going to get when I get. It sounds like you're in a big open room or an indoor pool, and you're off mic. I don't know where you are and what you're doing, but that's the sound we get right now.
Well, I'm not in my pool, and I'm not in a big open room. I'm in a kitchen.
Oh, you're in the kitchen. What are you cooking?
Well, right now I'm making a kind of like a vegetable stew, and I'm going to use it as a bed for halibut.
Oh, yum! Wow, okay. Wow, we just got some halibut recently that was really good. I haven't had it in years because it's gotten, like everything else, really expensive. But they had a special on it at Whole Foods, so and it was delicious. Love halibut.
Me too. And I got a couple of beautiful halibut fillets, and I'm going to bake them over a bed of this potato, mushroom, pepper, onion, black kale.
Wow.
I'm making.
Sounds very good. I'm getting hungry now. And I don't know what we're having for dinner. Yeah.
I didn't mention fennel. There's fennel too.
I don't know much about fennel.
You don't know about what?
Fennel. I don't know fennel. I mean, I've heard of fennel. I just don't really know what it is. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I had any.
Okay, well, it's a bulb on the bottom, and then it's got these big stalks, and then this very nice kind of leafy, not leafy. I mean, you know what dill looks like?
Yes.
So that's growing out of the top of it.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's nice to put on something raw, like a fish.
Okay.
And then the bulb, you just cook like a root vegetable, which is what it is. So there's something kind of celery-ish about it,
okay.
But it's got a very licorice flavor. It's very, very good.
Cool. No, it sounds good. I'll have to look into that. I got no great food stories for you, other than, you know, there's a show in most cities. I think they have something similar. Like in Florida, it was Check Please South Florida. Here they have Check Please Arizona. It's usually on the PBS station. And they have some kind of either a chef, usually a chef is the host, and they bring on three people from the community who each recommend a restaurant, and then they talk about the restaurants. Well, so I saw it when we got here, and I set it up to record because, you know, let's find good restaurants. Well, there was an Italian restaurant, like a pizza place, but that also serves really good Italian food just down the street. So that they recommended, that sounded great. So we got... They do this broccoli Caesar salad That it, we it sounded so good. We went and got it last night, and it's delicious. So yeah, I got that. Wait, I can call in the order and get it anyway. Yeah.
Well, it sounds delicious.
Yeah. And nice. We've got a good pizza place, Italian restaurant locally here that we know about. So anyway, so Howie, today is the circus continues in New York City with this trial. The whole outing of potential jurors is really disturbing. Have you been following this?
A little bit. I mean, what I do know is that they finally got all 12 of the jurors.
They not only sat 12 jurors, I think they also sat the alternates here. From Adam Klasfeld, who just shitted out news. This is about an hour ago. A 12-person jury has been selected for Trump's first criminal trial in New York. After a flurry of peremptory and for-cause challenges, jury selection progressed in a fast and furious fashion. An alternate has already been chosen. So I guess they're in the process that they need six alternates. They got the 12 jurors. Now, when today started, they lost two, but I guess they were able to fill them up pretty quickly. But yeah. So, but there is concern that people are being outed because the media feels compelled to report on the age and, I guess, physicality and the workplaces of these jurors, and people are doing a little bit of sleuthing and figuring out who they are. That's dangerous for those people.
Right. I mean, I don't think realize who they're dealing with here. These are a bunch of criminals, like real big criminals with really big stakes
yeah.
right now.
Yeah. So that kind of freaks me out a little bit. And I'm sure them even more. Like, you know, the two that were dismissed this morning, one called the court last night after her phone started ringing off the hook last night because the media gave out so much information about her that was identifiable, and people who shouldn't have known were calling her and saying, "Is that you? Are you on the jury?" And she called the court and said, "I can't do this." And then another one, what?
Calling were family members, right?
No, they called her. People called her, home.
I mean, family members were calling her, though, right?
Oh, yeah, that too, right. And she said, and they said, again, I was in and out of the, you know, reading about this today, but not only calling her, but yes, calling her family members and saying this is her. And just the fact that she could be identified, there are crazy people out there who follow Donald Trump. I can't imagine being on the jury worrying about not only my own safety, but that of my family and people close to me. Because
well, interesting to say that because this Republican congressman from Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher,
yes,
who
quit,
who not only not to run again, but he said Friday is his last day.
Yeah,
today he admitted why he did that, and that's because these MAGA nuts were calling him and calling his family and telling them they were going to kill them. He literally said that his family members have been threatened with death, and for that reason, he's leaving Congress.
Wow. Wow. And and people will still vote for this idiot. It is inconceivable to me. I just don't understand. I got to tell you, yesterday I had this woman on the show, Howie, who you might want to, I don't know, interview for Down with Tyranny or something. Her name is Tiffany Williams, and she just started a new Substack that I heard about from Rachel Bitticoffer. It's called Project 2025 Takedown. It's at project2025takedown.substack.com. And this is a woman who lives in Montana, who was raised as a Christian conservative, raised in a very conservative background. But, you know, with the rise of Donald Trump, she's like, this is nuts. This is crazy. And so she has come around to the good side and is appalled that the party and the evangelicals and the Christian community has gotten behind this guy. She knows what he is. And so, you know, I keep seeing posts and hearing people saying, you got to learn about Project 2025 and see what they're planning. And she took it upon herself to read all 900 plus pages and to explain it to people what they are planning in ways, in short, you know, servings, so that people can talk to other people about it. She was very, very good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I've been writing about Project 2025.
Yeah.
That's a very, very dangerous thing there. And, you know, they literally think that Trump is not in any position to run the country so that they'll do it for him.
Oh, my God. The whole thing is just frightening. It really, so there is no, you know, no excuse not to be involved in this election cycle. Everything is on the line. You know, it's so funny. We've been doing this for a lot of years, and certainly every presidential election, we always say this is the most important election of our lifetime. I've never felt as strongly about that statement as I do right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now everybody, you know, feels like, wow, all these years I've been crying wolf saying it's the most important.
But it was.
It doesn't come close to this.
But it was at that point. It was. And now, you know, it's like the floor keeps dropping below us. You know, there is no basement anymore. It goes. I remember when we were kids, we'd talk about digging all the way to China. Well, you know, the floor keeps dropping. Today, I don't know if you saw, then this morning, the Kennedy family comes out en masse and says, we love our brother, cousin, son, whatever, but don't vote for him. We endorse Joe Biden. Only one of two people will win this election. It's either going to be Joe Biden or Donald Trump, and we better make sure it's Joe Biden, and don't vote for Bobby Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, and the thing is that even if he actually had a chance to win, so if it wasn't necessarily one of two, but it could be one of three,
yeah,
he'd be horrible.
He is horrible. Just absolutely horrible. You know, last week I told you I was supposed to talk with this old friend of mine, and she must have been, I think she ghosted me, or she must have like read some of the stuff I wrote, that I'm appalled at her stance. And so now I haven't heard from her. So I don't think we're going to make peace.
Right. I remember this. We were talking about it. Did you see the Harvard School of Politics poll that came out today of young voters?
No.
I think it'll get like all over the news by tomorrow.
Okay.
Very, very, very interesting. You should definitely access it and read it. But you know, there happen to be a lot of young people who are never going to vote for Trump. You know, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But who are upset about Biden, particularly about this Gaza thing, and you know, they feel like there's no excuse for genocide and they can't support it. And, you know, it's giving them a hard time because they don't want Trump to win, but they don't want, in their minds, they don't want to support genocide. And
support genocide, you know, either. And we're not going to have this conversation. If we want to, we can. It's not genocide. It's horrible. What's happening is horrific. But it's not genocide. Genocide is, we want to kill off these people because they are of this race or this religion.
Do you listen to what the Israeli cabinet members have
to say? They're horrible. The Israeli cabinet is horrible.
They're literally
horrible.
Advocating genocide. Literal genocide. They want to kill everybody. So I'm not saying that Netanyahu is going along with it.
Oh, Netanyahu is going along with it.
Firing any of these cabinet ministers.
No, Netanyahu is absolutely going along with it. Netanyahu is evil and a war criminal who should be before The Hague and in prison and shouldn't be running a country. And the cabinet, the Knesset, is terrible. This is the most far-right government Israel has ever had. I don't approve of any of them.
He got a majority, I think, of two members.
Yes.
So it's not the Knesset.
Right. But what's happening there is, you know, it is akin to when Trump and his lackeys are in control here. I don't fault the whole nation. There are many of us who are screaming about Trump who don't want him. Same thing in Israel. There are millions of Israelis taking to the street every day saying, stop this. Don't do this in our name. Yes, get rid of the Knesset. Yes. Get rid of Netanyahu. Stop with the settlement. Stop with the killing. But if you want to talk genocide, you got to do it on both sides. The Hamas and the majority of Palestinians.
See, Hamas is terrible. No one denies that.
But that's not what we're hearing. All we're hearing is Israel is evil and they're committing genocide. Well, Hamas is committing genocide as well.
They would if they could, but they don't have the power to do it. They would try, we think, but Israel does have the power and they are doing it. I mean, how many Palestinians have they killed in this, like, make-believe hunt for Hamas?
It's not a make-believe hunt. Hamas hides among the civilian population. So
they've killed almost 40,000 civilians,
so
mostly women and children.
Right,
and how many Hamas members did they get? 12?
No, probably.
103?
Probably,
I mean, very, very few. But yet tens of thousands of innocent civilians. You're right. We shouldn't actually be having this conversation.
No, we should.
Because we're not going to agree on it.
No.
Although we kind of do agree that it's not right to blame everyone in Israel. There aren't millions of people coming out every day, but there are tens of thousands of people coming out every day. And on a non-work day, there's 100,000 people coming out.
That's right.
But yes, half of Israel disagrees with the policies of Netanyahu. I'm not 100% sure that half of Israel disagrees with how they have to handle Hamas. I don't know. I'm not there.
I don't know.
I've seen various polls.
I'm glad we're not there.
Very different.
No, it's horrible. I'm sick of seeing people, you know, saying, yes, queers for Palestine. You're queer for Palestine. You want to go into Palestine and see how they treat you? Come on, man. Just, you know, be fair is all I'm asking. Yes, what Israel's doing is horrible and disgusting. But what Hamas is doing is also horrible and disgusting.
What Hamas would do if they had an opportunity, and they've said what they'd like to do to all the Jews. Yes. So are they horrible? Yes. But it's Israel who's doing it, not saying they would do it. And if Hamas was doing it, do you think there would be American soldiers in Israel fighting? Of course there would be.
Yeah, but Hamas is doing it. What do you think is happening to all the relief that the money that was sent over there? You know what? We shouldn't talk about this because we're just going to argue and I'm driving people away by droves. Bye, Fantoma. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. You know what? I'm just saying, be fair. I hear queers for Palestine and my blood curls.
Yeah, I mean, that's so ignorant. It's amazing.
Yes, it is. And yet, you know, they don't realize the from the river to the sea thing would wipe Israel off the map. But not only Jews, gays, blacks, anybody who's not Muslim. So just know who you're dealing with.
But by the way, when you talk about from the river to the sea, the Israeli settlers say the same thing.
They're all wrong.
Talking about from the Jordan, they're talking about from the Euphrates to the Nile.
Right.
So they've got, you know, these people are insane as well.
They all are. And war is not the answer. Yet, you know, these people come in my chat. Oh, this is the pro genocide channel. Fuck you. No, it isn't. I'm not for genocide on either side. I'm just saying it's not all Israel. I know what happened on October 7th and since. You know why the hostages haven't been released? Because they're all fucking dead.
Yes, some of them are dead. That's right.
Yeah.
And then there'll be an argument about who killed them. Was it, you know, the indiscriminate Israeli bombing that killed them? Or were they raped to death?
Raped to death by these good Muslims who, you know, you can't touch a woman. You can't look at her. A woman's got to be covered up. But we'll rape her because she's Israeli dirt. She's a Jew. She's not worth anything. I have a problem with both sides. Both sides. I'm not defending Netanyahu by any means. I've been screaming for his ouster for well over 10 years now. So, you know, don't call me a genocidal maniac. That's a good way to get you banned from my chat room. Ugh. Anyway, I'm sorry, Howie. I did not want to go there.
Okay.
But I guess it gave me a chance to say, look, I do not support what Israel is doing. It's horrible. But you also can't let Hamas say, okay, we're going to eliminate all the Jews. And by the way, while we're at it, the blacks and the Catholics and the gays and the, oh, by the trans.
Blacks, not the blacks, not the blacks.
Oh, not the blacks. Oh, no, because they're people of color. Right, you're right. Maybe the African blacks, or maybe the American blacks.
They love the Africans. The gays, yes, the gays.
Certainly the gays. Ugh. Okay. Well, we should talk about something less, fiery. And I don't know what that would be, because it's all pretty, pretty bad right now. Let me ask you
We can go back to my recipe for the halibut.
We could. That would be much, much better. You have a post up at Down With Tyranny. Let's just get off topic completely. Last week was so much fun. We talked about Blue America and candidates. And you have a piece up there. I'm trying to find it now. Not Any Blue Will. Here it is. It's just the latest one. Not Any Blue Will Do, episode 3725. And you're talking about California could make the difference on who, which party controls the House after the elections. California, which is supposed to be like the bluest state. Is this Katie Porter's fault?
No, Katie, it's not her fault for sure, but Katie definitely left her seat. The person who she fought when she was first elected in the primary is a conservative Democrat who used to work for Schumer. He was Schumer's contact with Wall Street. He was the in-between guy between Wall Street and Schumer, named Dave Min. And he moved out here to California when he was finished working for Schumer. And he's now running for that seat. But when he ran against Katie, she had horrible things to say about him. They were very accurate. She and I spoke about it personally. I wrote a lot about him back then, a few years ago. Since then, he got into the legislature. He was rated by the Courage campaign, which is the best rating system. They take everybody into account,
right?
You know, everyone on the left into account, and then they rate everybody very carefully. And this guy, they rated him as a D. So a D isn't as good as an F. I mean, isn't as bad as an F. But a D, you know how bad a D is.
We'd
like to find people who are A. And if they're a B, you know, maybe we won't be as excited about them. They're not an A. And there's lots and lots of people that are A's. And then there are a lot of B's. But a D, no. And then Katie, for whatever reason, endorsed him. And really, really helped me to make up my mind that I couldn't support her in her run. And eventually I supported Barbara Lee,
right?
And Barbara didn't win and Katie didn't win. And now we've got Adam Schiff versus a Republican. But what I did is I looked at all six of the seats that the DCCC is targeting. So they're targeting six flippable seats. And in the six seats, they have six males, six conservative males. Several of them have been, most of them have been endorsed by the Blue Dogs. And they're generally, I mean, I don't want to say all six of them are just horrible dreck, because it's not exactly true, but close to it. None of them are great, and none of them are good. There's one guy who's kind of okay, he's conservative, but he's an okay conservative. But they have, I mean, and I wrote about how bad some of them are. I mean, there were when someone's been in the legislature, like Dave Min, as well as Rudy Salas, as well as Adam Gray, you know who they are because you look at their record. Adam Gray and Rudy Salas, they ran what's called the Mod Squad in Sacramento. The Mod Squad is exactly the same thing as the Blue Dogs.
Okay.
Except corruption is more obvious. They take money from big oil, from big insurance, from the police unions, and then they do whatever these organizations want them to do. They stop all the progressive legislation from going through. I mean, everyone thinks California is this blue heaven. Well, you know, we've got these Mod Squad people. In any case, in the Courage campaign, for example, they rate on a 100 scale. So the most you can get is 100. And there are some Democrats that get 100. There are lots of Democrats that get over 90. Rudy Salas, the Democratic choice
for a D+12 partisan lean. It's this hugely Democratic seat. And they picked Rudy Salas, who has an 8 out of 100. That's how bad his F was. 8. Just think about that. You could score 100. He scored an 8. There were Republicans who do better than that.
Yeah.
And this is who the D-Trip picked. Ugh. And he ran 2 years ago and lost. And he lost because Democrats know who he is. Democrats in that district know he's terrible. He has a terrible record. He's completely corrupt, which of course is why the D-Trip wants him.
Right.
And they picked him again. Same with Adam Gray. Adam Gray wasn't an 8 out of 100. I think he was the 12 out of 100, which is basically the same thing. But I mean, these guys are awful, and that is who the DCCC recruits and supports. I saw the other day they just put a $5 million ad buy into Rudy Salas' district. They're already spending multiple millions of dollars on just. I mean, if this guy gets elected, he's going to be as bad as Joe Manchin, as bad as Joe Lieberman,
right.
as bad as
Kyrsten Sinema.
Do we want that?
No.
You know, I'm all up in arms about this. I'm not going to mention any names here, but I'm in a number of organizations, and in one of the organizations that I'm in, someone who I love and respect a lot in this organization, and I've known this person for decades, and they suggested Rudy Salas as someone that we should endorse.
Oh, God.
And you heard me just talking about Rudy Salas just now, so you can imagine I flipped out. And, you know, I flipped out and offended someone who I've loved for all these years. And I felt really, really terrible about it, but I couldn't control myself. I just could not imagine our organization, a progressive organization, endorsing this, like, horrible person. And I said, Don't we learn a lesson? Didn't we endorse as an organization Kyrsten Sinema?
Yeah.
And then we saw what happened, and we were embarrassed for years about that, and did everything we could to, you know, look away and make believe she wasn't one of ours. We can't do it again. So eventually, I feel like I was a bully, and eventually his name was withdrawn from the. We didn't even vote on him. Then just the nomination was withdrawn.
Good. Well, that's what needs to happen. You know, people who are so out of the realm of what we find acceptable need to be shunned, need to be excluded. You know, I'm looking at Marge's latest, and apparently, you know, the Republicans are even they're done with her. Her latest, she actually put forth an amendment, was it today, about space lasers, getting money for space lasers at the southern border.
I heard her on TV today when I was putting on my socks. She was carrying on that what MAGA Mike is doing, the speaker, is the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the United States.
Unbelievable.
What is wrong with this crazy, ignorant moron?
The
worst thing that's ever happened. I mean, you know, obviously worse than the Civil War.
Absolutely. No, she's insane, and they're going to reelect her. This is what I just...
They should make her speaker. I think I have a post coming up soon about why they should make Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I no longer call her Marjorie Traitor Greene, which is what I was calling her. Now I just call her Moscow Marge.
Oh, Moscow Marge. That works. You know, Marge. Marge Q Green. She's got a lot of names. Although she shouldn't even be green because she's not married to Green anymore. Go figure. Wonder why. Anyway.
He, you know why. I mean, it wasn't because of the crazy. He divorced her because of the adultery.
Oh, God. Oh, but they're America's Family Values Party, don't you know?
Oh, sure.
Oh, God. Come on, man. Oh, anyway, so yes, Howie Klein, the stupidity of a good portion of the American public never ceases to amaze me. And here we are.
I say this, anytime one of us accidentally brings up Gaza, the other one immediately starts yelling,
Marge.
Marge.
Moscow Marge. That works for me. You know, somebody said
she now has the votes that she needs to get, unless the Democrats step in, which they will. She has the votes that she needs to get rid of Mike Johnson.
Yeah, because all she needed was one more, because they don't have a majority. And with Gallagher leaving tomorrow, that's it, right?
He's staying until after this current craziness goes on. He was going to leave tomorrow.
Oh.
He says, well, the last thing I heard is that he said he may stay for another few days so he could vote on this stuff.
Oh, my God. You know, just stop. They just need to stop. They all need to stop. I don't know what. Doing nothing would be better than
this
what they're
what
doing.
They, us, I mean, the same thing that we have to say to them is what they have to say to us. And they think they're in the right. And I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a moron, so it's hard to listen to her.
Yeah.
She's trying to articulate an idea. She can't do it. But then you get someone who is a little bit more educated, like Gates, who's an attorney, and he comes on and he does articulate what they're trying to do. And I understand I understand where he's coming from. I disagree with absolutely nothing.
I agree
with absolutely nothing he says, but at least he can make the case. She's incapable of making the case. Nor is Boebert incapable of making the case.
Oh my
her
God.
Quote was, "That's a red line. That's a red line."
You're a red line, Lauren. Go home. She just might. We hope. So, you know, I just got to tell you, the other day, when I'm not in here, I'm playing, making things, creating things. So I sit out in the garage and I play with stuff. And so on Sunday, these two women came walking up. They're both candidates. One is running for school board, the other running for superintendent of schools. I invited them in. They came on Tuesday. We had a great conversation. And I just got an email from one of them introducing me to the person who is running against Andy Biggs. And I said, oh, is she in a primary? Nope. She's the lone Democrat on the ballot. So she'll be on the ballot. And there's like five or six Republicans in the primary running against Biggs. So I'll let you know how she is.
He's not right wing enough. There are two progressive Democrats who are running for the seat that Ruben Gallego had. So not your district, but right next door to your district.
Right, right.
You should bring them on.
Okay.
They're both interesting and accomplished women, and I'd like to know what the difference is between them. And although I heard today, I don't want to bring this up again. I heard today that one of them is being supported by AIPAC.
Oh.
But why don't you bring the two of them on, because they both have very, very good records, and yet it's one is endorsed by the Progressive Caucus and one isn't.
Okay.
I think it would be really interesting to have them on, and they're right there in your hood.
Oh, that'd be
great.
I will look into that. I will get on that, because the primary here is July 30th. They already did the presidential choice primary. That's a separate thing. But the congressional, all the other primary races happen July 30th.
That all over the country, all these states that had the presidential have the congressionals coming up now.
Yep.
So there are
a
lot of congressionals coming up between now and August.
Good.
I think Arizona is either the last one or one of the last ones.
Well, July 30th, I guess, if it's between now and August, that makes sense. So, all right, I will get on that. I definitely. Oh, and Kathy Turner says Kristen Lierley is running for Gallagher's seat. You should have her on. Okay. I don't even know where is Gallagher?
Gallagher is in northern Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it's a gerrymandered red district that it's going to be really, really tough for any Democrat. But Trump endorsed somebody already, some MAGA crazy. There were two MAGA crazies, and Trump picked one, and the other one seems to have dropped out.
Ah, of course. Okay. Yeah. Oh boy. All right. Well, tomorrow on the program, Marcy Wheeler's here. So she always she carries it. She just I ask one question and she goes. So my Fridays are kind of easy. No, I ask more than just one question. I usually have at least four or five prepared. That gets me through the whole hour. And I learn something from her every week. So Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com, of course, and support the candidates endorsed by the Blue America PAC. And we'll get more into that in the coming weeks, especially as these congressional primaries heat up across the country. Thank you, Howie.
I want to bring on Sushila Jayapal. Would that be okay?
Yes, I would love that.
She's running in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
She's a really, really good candidate, and she's Pramila Jayapal's sister.
Cool. I would love that. Absolutely. Anytime.
Good.
You just tell me when. Cool.
Her manager's mad at me right now.
Oh no.
Just right before the right before I came on the air just now, she got pissed off because I wrote a story and I described Sushila's opponents in very fiery terms. And she said, no, take that down, take that out. And, you know, I said, it's different if you wrote it. You didn't write this. This is me.
Exactly.
I don't work for your campaign.
Nope.
She's pissed off.
Oh, well, she'll get over it. Take a chill pill. Okay. All right. Thanks, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So a couple of you have made comments. So we're in overtime now. You'll notice if you're watching on video, there's a guitar behind me. It's not really a guitar. So let me tell you about this piece, because I think I just finished it last night. So I'm out with a dear old friend of mine, Terry, who lives north of Phoenix. She lives near a community called Cave Creek. It's about an hour from here. It's up in the hills. It's beautiful. It's just like gorgeous. Anyway, I was up visiting her a few weeks ago, and it was bulk trash day. And we're driving down the street, and I'm like, wait a minute, pull over. Because I saw what appeared to be guitars, like a guitar body. And it wasn't, it was cutouts. See, here's the back of it. It was this wooden guitar body cutout. You see all the little spots in here? That's where I filled in drill holes with wood filler. And the other side looked just like this. So the other side, I first painted with this metallic sort of bronze-ish paint, and then I blinged it with a lot of natural stones and crystals and things. And so for the top, so it needed a neck. So I kind of measured, I figured out what the dimensions should be, and I cut out from cardboard. The thing is, it was cardboard, and it was not sturdy enough. So I went rummaging around in the garage, and I found this scrap left over from the floorboard molding that when they remodeled this house. And it was the right width, but it was long. So I got a saw, I sawed it, and then I had to make the neck, the head of the guitar. So this is the sloppiest part of it, because I did this with a handsaw. I made the strings out of stringed beads on wire. And then these are, I don't know, different gems and stones and things. And then I put a layer of resin on. Oops, I just lost a bead. I think it needs another layer of resin, but just to solidify it. Oh, my little pearls are falling off my bottom. Anyway, this is my latest creation. So, And I am working on a website so that I will have photographs. This is what I'm going to do this weekend. I'm going to photograph everything and try to post everything. So all these items will be for sale. Should you care to have a piece of Nicole original art or whatever you want to call it, they will be available. And so as soon as the site is good to go, I'll let you know. Okay. So it's not just pet portraits anymore. It's play. I play because it's a way to get out of my head. So I'm not thinking about Israeli bombs killing Palestinian children or Hamas raping and murdering innocent people just because they may happen to be Jewish. That stuff fucks with my head, as it should yours. And when you call me a genocidal, yes, jewelry too. I'm making jewelry too. Oh, but nothing. I'm the one shaking. The table that my setup is on is what shakes. So if I touch, if I touch the table, it shakes. I'm really sorry. I don't mean to get you guys all seasick, but I'll try not to touch the broadcast console, or I need to get a more steady table that's not going to shake every time I touch it. So that's not moving. It's me. It's, yeah. So anyway, all right. So with that, yeah, see, and Sandy says I grow plants to get out of my head. I play art. And here's my latest. So all those, the beads and the things that I use on that and some of the other stuff that I'm making, my newest obsession is going to estate sales. And here in Arizona, I know it sounds very perverse, but there are a lot of old people. And so when they die, an estate company, a estate sale company comes in and they sell everything in the house. And here's how it works out here. It's usually like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday and Friday, you know, whatever price they put on, they usually start things out fairly high. I don't go on Thursday or Friday. I go on Saturday because on Saturday, everything is half off. And not only that, if you get a few things together and say, okay, what will you do for all of this? They'll often knock it down even more. So I was at one house like 2 weeks ago, and there was a whole crafts room. And this woman had boxes of beads and gems. I mean, they weren't valuable gems, but cool stuff. And different colors. And they were like, I think the price they had on was $8 each. But I go on the last day when everything's half off. So they were $4 each. And I got a bunch of them. And so they knocked more off. So I'm getting it for like nothing. I don't have money to spend on this stuff. So I get it either. And I get stuff for free, like the guitar body in someone's bulk trash out at the, there were six of them. Terry and I each took three. So I'm going to make two more guitars when I'm done with this one. And it keeps me occupied. It keeps my, Rick, I'm not artistic either. Rick Smith in the chat room says, I'm not artistic. I can't even draw stick figures. Well, you know what? Before the pandemic, I would have told you, I don't have an artistic bone in my body because I didn't. I can't draw. But you just, you know, this kind of stuff, better than the pet portraits are difficult because you're really trying to capture the essence of this animal. But with this, it's just whatever, wherever your imagination takes you. So I'm having fun making things. And I'm telling you, once Friday comes and I tape with Marcy Wheeler in the morning, I get the show ready to go. I set up the broadcast and then I zone out. I start just saying, okay, what am I going to make now? And I come in here and I run the show live. So, you know, with the inevitable audio problems or video glitches, I'm here to fix it. And then I post the podcast. And for the rest of the weekend, I don't want to hear about anything unless, you know, something huge is happening and I need to know. Instead, I get out of my head and I make things. And I listen to music. You know, I was going to start, I need to start videotaping what I do. And I figured my thing is going to be do as I say, not as I do. I make all the mistakes so you don't have to. But my problem is that I need to listen to music. And if I have music on in the background, I can't put it up on YouTube. I'll get copyright violated. So I need to figure out the workaround on that. And I will, you know, just got to figure it out. Anyway. All right, so that's it. Now I'm done. Tomorrow, Marcy Wheeler to end our week. And there's no better way to end the week than with Empty Wheel Fridays here on the Nicole Sandler Show. All right, thank you for listening. Sorry about the little dust up. We won't do that anymore. Moscow March! And we move on. Just the war, the killing, the horror has got to stop. And that's why I end the show and I say, peace out.